Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's find an Old Testament book called Zephaniah. I know you spend a lot of time reading Zephaniah, right? Zephaniah chapter... I didn't hear much about that. Zephaniah chapter 3. I'll give you some time to find it because it might take a little while. Zephaniah, it's near the end of the Old Testament. Chapter 3. Tonight, I want to just talk to you about this subject tonight, about your inner image of God. You know, inner image is a big thing. You know, years ago, a guy came to the service where I was preaching. And first time I'd ever seen him, first time he'd ever seen me. But after, I don't know if it was right after that service or later on, he told me, he said, I listened to you on, you know, audio, cassette, that was cassettes in those days. He said, I listened to you on that, and he'd been listening to me before he ever came to the services. And when he came to the service, he said, I was surprised, I was shocked. He said, I thought you were like 6 foot something. And he was shocked at this glorious 5'8" of me, you know. But he had this image of me, you know, just by what he heard. Now, I understand that because I'll hear people on the radio that maybe I've never seen them, and I get a picture of them in my mind, an image of them. And, you know, sometimes when you see them, they don't match that image you have in your head at all. Am I the only one that ever does that? I mean... I used to listen to radio a lot when I was a runner because I'd listen to it while I was running and, you know, talk radio. And sometimes some of the people that would be on there, I'd get a picture of them in my mind. And then when I'd see them, I'd think, well, they don't match that picture at all, you know. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I might have thought they were some really tough, you know, big person and they're Pee Wee Herman. And... I've seen that happen. You know, I've seen that where you get this image in your mind, and you think somebody is a certain way, and then you meet them and you find out they're different. You know, I used to watch this show years ago. It was on, and they had a guy on there named the Fonz. Anybody here know what show I'm talking about? Fonzie was real cool. You know, tough. You know, rode a motorcycle. Don't mess with me, I'll punch you in the face type of guy. Remember him? Well, you know, all I'd ever seen him was on that show. I'd never seen the guy, you know, outside of that show. When I saw him talk outside of the show, I said, this can't be the Fonz. This is disappointing. This guy doesn't match that at all. I'm not criticizing him, guy. I'm just saying his character he played, that's who I thought he was, but that's not who he is. Amen. My inner image was different, you know, and you know, the media will do that. If they don't like somebody, they'll try to give you an inner image of them, what they're like, and you may think bad things about them. You've never met them, you know. You meet them, and they're totally different than what that image you get. See, and so you have to have the right inner image of God. See. Because let me just read this, because this verse right here, I'm gonna look at some verses tonight here in just a little bit. But let's go here to Zephaniah. This verse right here really got me to thinking about what God was like years ago when I got a hold of this verse. It really helped shape my thoughts about God. Let's go to verse 17, Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. The King James says he will rest in his love, or some translations say he will quiet you or cause you to rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. Now, when I first read that verse, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought, this can't be. It can't be that God thinks this about me and you. That he rejoices over us with singing. Now that began to change my image of who God is, because, you know, I grew up And I don't know, I guess I got this from church people, you know, just what, I didn't really go to church as a kid, you know, when I got to be about 12, you know, my mom got born again. I didn't know what it was, so I just know she started going to church. And so I went some with her for a little bit to the church there that she went to. But I didn't grow up going to church. But, you know, I guess I just picked this up, that God was not somebody you wanted to mess with. You know what I'm saying? You could end up being a greasy spot if you ticked him off. And he does have the power to make us all greasy spots if he wanted to. But as I got a hold of the word, I began to realize God's not that way at all. That's not the way he is. This image I had of God is distorted. And it takes a while to get rid of that. It doesn't leave overnight. And, you know, because religion paints that. And still today there's Christians, there's all kinds of that by the thousands and the millions that think God is just, he's about half mad all the time. And he's just ready to, you know, squash somebody. You know, there was even a Christian song that came out years ago, and it went like this. The lyrics were, God's going to get you for that. Well, if God was going to get you, I'd have been God a long time ago, right? But I did grow up with that, thinking that. And I know sometimes we would do things as unbelievers before Christ, you know, and I would think, I don't know if I want to cross that line, because before the night's over, God's liable to get us in a car wreck or kill us or something. Can you believe people think that? I did. You know, I thought that's the way God was. And then after you get saved, till you get rid of that, you kind of just think God tolerates you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're like the kid he wished he never had would have had. You know, it's like the boy that said to his father, I didn't ask to be born. His dad said, if you would have, the answer would have been no. So he kind of felt like that. You know what I'm saying? But as I got, this verse right here had something to do with me thinking different. And I still, honestly, still have to renew my mind to this, that God rejoices over you and I with joy. That he joys over us with singing, that tonight we sang about God, but God sings about us. See, you still don't believe that. I can tell the response I got. You still don't believe that, but that's what the verse said. I said, that's what the verse says. I got a verse on it. That God sings about us. Think about it. He sings about us. Yeah, but I wonder what he's singing. I wish they'd go away. No, he's singing good things about us. Amen. Can you see, that's in the Bible, right? That's a verse right out of the Bible. That's what God thinks about his people. That begins to renew your mind, doesn't it? It begins to change your inner image of the way God is thinking about me. You know, because I know me, you know you, you know you know your shortcomings, you know your faults, right? We all have them, right? Sure, that's not a negative confession. You just got them, brother. And you're working on it, right? You should be. But here's the thing. God sees us through the blood. Hallelujah. Thank God he does. If God wanted to find fault, he could sure find fault. Amen. But the high and lofty one dwells with us. Amen. So this verse began to change my inner image of God, you know. And I was reading one time in 1 Peter. I've read the verse many times, but one day it just hit me. You know how sometimes you'll get an awe moment, man, like that revelation to me. When I was just reading a verse that I preached on, you know, read many times, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. One day it hit me. The reason I can cast my care upon him is because he cares for me. He'll do something about it. And it says all your care. So that means even smaller things, you know, God cares about. Amen? And so, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you got to let the Word of God renew your mind, renew your inner image of who God is. Because I don't care how long you've been serving God, it's still going to need work. you're going to be working on this, because I'll show you in a little bit. He is so good, it's just, there's just no bottom to it. In Ephesians, Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, I'm preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. What does that mean? Yeah, you know what unsearchable means? It means you can't find the bottom to the barrel. Right. I can't find the end of this. So we're going to be working on this for a long time. How many know that?
Right.
Amen. Now, I want you to go to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 14, because I want to develop this a little bit tonight. And let's just put something, let the Lord put something inside of us and begin to tweak that inner image of God. And, you know, I think sometimes, I used to think God just always every day just looking to see, find all the fault with me, the things I didn't say right, the things I didn't do right, the attitudes I didn't have right. And I'm not saying, listen now, I'm not by any means saying you just overlook that stuff in your life. How many know we need to, like Paul said, judge yourselves, but we also need to know God's on our side. And He's not condemning us, and He loves us, and He knew what He got when He bought us. Right? And He must have valued us because He paid a really high price for us. You know, the more something, the more valuable something is, the more it costs. See, there's things, they change in value over the years. I remember like 2 years ago, what is it, 3 years ago, you know, toilet paper was real valuable. Remember that? I mean, you could sell toilet paper and make a lot of money, because there was a shortage of it. So people were willing to pay a lot for toilet paper. But, you know, I've seen things, you know, before, like chocolate, like $6,000 chocolate, $12,000 beef. None of it's that valuable to me. I'll go buy a Hershey bar for a dollar and a quarter or whatever it costs. You know what I'm saying? But now it might be to you, right? You know what I'm saying? See, a guy said one time, he said, I came out of a restaurant and there was this McLaren car sitting there, you know, about $300,000 car. And somebody said, there ain't no car worth that kind of money. He said, well, it must be to somebody. They bought it. It was for somebody. Somebody bought it. Well, the price that Christ paid, the price that the Lord paid for us was the highest price that could be paid for anything. He gave the precious blood of Jesus for us. So He must have valued us, right? He wouldn't have paid that high a price. He gave His own Son. So, but see, the devil doesn't want people to know that. Because he wants to, if you do get saved, he'd like to keep you from getting saved, but if you do get saved, he doesn't want you to know what you have. He doesn't want you to know about the character of God and who you are in Christ. He doesn't want you to know about your relationship with the Father. He wants to keep you on the fringe edge, living defeated in a miserable life. Amen. But he can't do it when you know the Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. Look at this in John chapter 14. Go with me to verse 8. Well, let's just back up to verse 7. This is Jesus talking to His disciples. He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know Him, and you've seen Him. Now, how many know they hadn't physically seen Him, right? No. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. It'll be sufficient for us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. So he got his words from the Father, right? Yeah. All right. And then he went on to say, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father. The Father that dwelleth in me, He does the works. Now, it's always, I don't want to say humorous because it isn't really funny, but it's always like puzzling to me when people come along and say that the Lord doesn't heal people today. When Jesus did it, and He said, I'm doing the works of the Father. Has the Father changed?
No,
the Bible says, I'm the Lord, I change not. So if Jesus did it, people have these goofy ideas, say, Jesus only healed to prove He was the Son of God. Getting Lazarus up after being dead for 4 days would have done it for me. He healed people because of compassion. The Bible says he healed the multitudes because of compassion. So he was just doing the works of the Father, right? So he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, what did Jesus do? The Bible said he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That word good means he was, in the Greek, it means he was a philanthropist. How many know what a philanthropist is? It's somebody goes around and gives money away. Well, I don't think it just means that he gave money away, although he did give money away, apparently, because the Bible said, you know, that when Judas got up to leave during the Last Supper, they thought he was going to go give something to the poor, that Jesus had told him to give something to the poor. So they were accustomed to Jesus giving money away and blessing people, right? But he just went about doing good, man. A philanthropist, what? He just go out giving God's stuff away, giving his healing away, giving his blessing away. And I think sometimes we make it harder than it needs to be. Amen. We had an evangelist come one time way back 80 something, and I'll never forget his message. His message was entitled, "Let God Heal You. Let Him Do It." Because I think sometimes we make it harder than it is. But Jesus, how many know Jesus is the image of God? Listen to this. Colossians 1:15 says this, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. We can't see God, but we can through Jesus. So all we have to do is read the Gospels, right? And we get a picture of the Father. This is what, in other words, if the Father would have been here, here's what he would have done, what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He went about doing good. Hallelujah. And healing all that are oppressed of the devil. See, years ago, one minister, a famous minister, used to have a saying that, you know, about God being good. You know, something good is going to happen. Do you remember that? Yeah. Something good is going to happen to you. How many remember that song? Mm-hmm. Happen to you. It was a theme song for Oral Roberts and his ministry. And some ministers would say, I wish he wouldn't say that. Because you know there's people out there that they're going to have bad things happen in their life. They say, well, what do you want him to say? Something bad is going to happen to you? A lot of Christians would like that. Amen. They'd take a lap on that. But God's good. Amen. And he wants to do good. And you have to have a right inner image of God. It'll hinder you from receiving. It'll hinder you from having a relationship with him like you should have. It'll hinder you from having peace. People are always working trying to please God. Man, listen. Jesus satisfied God with his sacrifice at Calvary. Amen. You know why I live holy? Because I love God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. Didn't he say that? Come on, are y'all alive tonight? So Colossians tells us Jesus is the image of the invisible God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's the image of God. Hebrews 1:3 says he's the express image of his person. John 1:18 says that Jesus has revealed or declared the Father unto us. Well, what is God? What is God? Love. God is what? Love. God is what? Love. He is love. It doesn't say he has love. It says that's who he is. That's part of his nature. Right? So anything he says, see, people will say, because we get flack as a church because we don't agree with everything the world thinks is all right today. Don't we? We get called names. You know, bigots. Intolerant, but yet what we're saying came from God the Father, and he is love. So if he tells you something isn't good, it isn't that he hates you, it's that he loves you, right? He doesn't want to hurt you. He knows how this thing works and how it doesn't work. Right? See, when you're a kid, when you're immature, you don't know all that stuff. You think your parents, you know, they just don't want you to have fun. But they're saving your bacon. Is that all right? When I was 4 years old, we used to have, I don't know if they still make them or not, we used to have these children's aspirins. They were called St. Joseph. Anybody old enough remember those? Maybe they still make them. I don't know. But they had those, and those things tasted good, Mark. I mean, you chewed them. They were chewable. So I had a drug problem back then. I mean, 4 years old, man. I already had a drug problem. I mean, I know I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I had drug issues growing up. I did drugs, but I was 4 years old, man. And I remember one time I got those out of the medicine cabinet, and I put them in my back pocket, and I took off on my trike. I'm going to go do some drugs. And my mom saw that. And, man, she adjusted that. I never got those again. Now, see, to me, at the time, she's spoiling my party. But she knew if I took the whole bottle, what would happen? I wouldn't be here today. I guess. I don't know how powerful they would, but I think the whole bottle probably would have killed a four-year-old. One time, and this was at the same age, at that same house, I had some really shenanigans at this one place we lived, I'm telling you. At one time, I got ticked over something, and I went out and laid out in the middle of the street. Thank God it was Winslow, Indiana. And there wasn't anybody standing on the corner. All right, moving right along. And my dad came out there. Brother, I'm telling you, he blistered me good. Now, why did he do that? Because he's a bigot? He's a hater? No, he knew eventually there is going to be a car come down this back street in Winslow. Eventually. And you're going to be flattened. Amen. And so over the years, My father and my mother would correct me over things, and it wasn't because they hated me, it was because of love. And just because God doesn't agree with something you're doing doesn't mean he hates you. He loves you. And he's trying to keep you from hurting yourself. Amen. And so people they need to get a revelation of that. Christians need to get a revelation of that. Because now we see the church caving into the world because we want to be accepted and loved by the world. Well, Jesus said if the world loves you, that's not good. He said, because it hated me. If the world loves you, it's because you are of the world. That's why they love you, because you're just like them. I don't believe we should lower the standard in the church, because once you lower it, it's gone. I think we ought to hold it high. Let them call us names, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're not out to, you know, and we're not out. Listen, now listen to this. Now, I want to say this to you because the Bible teaches this. Listen, God's just not, you know, we see the sinners out there doing all the things they're doing. You know, God's not surprised by that. And he's not out. You know what he's out to do? He's out to get them saved. The Bible says we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, that Jesus Christ was sent. Amen. To reconcile the world unto God. And now that Jesus is in heaven, we are given the ministry of reconciliation. And our message is, the Bible says God was reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. He said, for us, I'm concerned, it's Jesus Christ paid for, it's gone. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As far as God is concerned, listen now, as far as God's side is, it's all taken care of. Jesus took care of it. But you have to receive it. You have to receive the reconciliation. God won't force it on you. But see, that's God's attitude. He's not, you know, listen, I thought we can think, you know, because sometimes we can get religious in our own spirit, and I've done it before, and you have to watch it. You know, I saw some guys passing around a jug one day, you know, a bottle, you know, they were all standing around on the street corner in the city where I was at, and they were all passing around, you know, getting drunk, and I looked at them, and I was kind of a new Christian. I wasn't real old. I'd been serving God for enough to know better than that, and what I thought. When I saw that, I thought, look at you bunch of idiots. And when I said it in my heart, I don't know that I said it with my mouth, but I said it in my heart. When I said it, I heard, now not audibly, but if anybody's ever heard God speak to your spirit, you know what I'm talking about. I heard this inside of me, and I recognized it as God. Let's take you back a few years and see where you were at. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I wasn't just passing around a bottle, man. I was passing around a joint. I was passing around something to snort up your nose. I was doing worse than that. See, I got religious there and like judging people for being sinners because they're sinners. What do sinners do? Sin. What did you do? Sin. See, it's not until you get the knowledge of God that it changes you. Right. See, that's why our voice is. Our voice isn't, you dirty sinner, you're going to hell, you better quit your, you better quit doing your drugs, drinking your past blue ribbon, you know, and your vodka and all that. You better quit all. Our voice says, our voice is, hey, God has paid the price for you to be reconciled to Him. Right. Come and receive it. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. You couldn't have got me saved as a sinner by beating me up over the head. I just probably punched you in the face. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way I live. That's the way we were raised. But you know, but it was hearing about, you know, not that God was out to get me. I mean, you know, I thought those things, but that's not the message that got me. There's a good message. It's called the gospel. And it's the good news. You may be bound, but you can be free. Hallelujah. And God's not mad at you. He sent His Son to redeem you. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you openly reject and continue to reject that, you're going to face the wrath of God. Eventually. But that's for rejecting His grace and spitting in His face. Amen. Amen. All right, now, let's look at Jonah. I know we're going to some of these Old Testament scriptures, Zephaniah, Jonah. But let's go there to Jonah chapter 4. I just want to talk to you about your inner image of God changing what you think. Now, if you can go find Micah, it's a pretty big book in the Old Testament, and then back up into Jonah. Jonah chapter 4, go there. Jonah the 4th chapter. Your inner image, you have to change what you think about God. You know, as you grow up, your inner image of your parents begins to change, doesn't it? Doesn't it? See, you know, teenagers sometimes, no, not all teenagers don't, but some, you know, they have this war against their parents. And then when they get kids, they act like their parents, right? Because they have suddenly, they grow up, they mature in their inner image. You know, they begin to think different about their parents now, their inner image. They begin to realize that people, so see, the Bible talks about you that are younger, submit yourself to the elder. Now, why would that be? What do you think that would be? Why would younger people need to submit to elder people? Because elders know more. I'm beginning to wonder about some of you because you didn't even know that. Gray hair should represent wisdom. So my hair ain't gray. Yeah, but you dye it. We know, all right? Well, I'm not knocking you. At least you got something to dye. All right? That's cool. My point in saying that is you begin to mature as you get older, don't you? Right. See, you know, Dad used to tell you things when you were a teenager, you blew it off. Once you got older, it started making sense, didn't it? Some of the things Dad said, it made sense. And you really know you have arrived when Grandma starts making sense. It's like, yeah, I get why she did that. I get why. You know what I'm saying? And so it's a developing, it's a maturing. It's the same thing with God. Your inner image of God has to grow. You got to mature about what you think about God and about who He is. You know, people have, they come with an immature image. I had an immature image, but it began to grow. It's still growing. And it will until Jesus comes back. Now, let's go to Jonah chapter 4. You got that? All right, verse 1 of chapter 4. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord," and now listen to his prayer, "and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and it repents thee of evil," or you don't want any harm to come to anybody. "Therefore now, O Lord, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." How many know Jonah was a little bit dramatic? He was a drama king. And then the Lord said, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Now later on in this chapter, Jonah said, yeah, to death. But what's the problem here? Well, I mean, we know the story of Jonah, right? God sent Jonah to preach to Nineveh, didn't he? God told Jonah, he said, the cry of that place has come up to me. He saw the wickedness there and the misery was there. See, these aren't even covenant people. These aren't covenant people. These are outside of the covenant of God. They're outside of Israel. But God saw it's such a mess that God said, I'm going to step in and do something. This is a miserable situation for people to be in. I'm going to fix it. So he sent Jonah to go preach to them. Jonah didn't go preach to them. He got a ship and went to Tarshish. He went the other direction. Now he reveals to us why he went the other direction. Because he said, I know you, God, you're good. I go preach to them and they change, they repent, you're going to be good to them. And Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. He did not like them. He didn't want them to repent. He wanted God to destroy them, which is why he wouldn't go preach. And I mean, we know what happened, right? He got swallowed, didn't he? He was well bait and well barf. Well, what happened there? Well, he just simply did not like the Ninevites. He did not want God to be good to them. He knew God would be good to them. See, he knew what God was like. He knew God. If I go over and preach and they repent, you know, and God says to Jonah, as you read on, if we read the rest of this, God says to Jonah, he said, you're mad because I'm good? Come on. How many would admit you've seen God bless people and you think, why in the world did he bless them? Because he's good. All right, now I have. I've seen God bless people. I think, well, I don't know. Let me be God for a few hours here. I'll see what I do with him. Come on, are you with me? But God is good. I said God is good. And so, you know, he told Jonah. Nineveh was a big city. It was like 3 days across it, the Bible says. So it was a large people. Now, I don't really know how many there is. Really, you know, some people say there's 120,000, but I don't think that's what the Bible's saying. The Bible says there were 120,000 in the city that didn't know their right hand from their left hand. I think that's talking about children. There's 120,000 kids there didn't know their right hand from their left hand. So it was a huge city. And Jonah knew, if I go there and preach and they repent, God's going to be good to them. And they repented and God was good to them. And Jonah said, that's the very reason why I didn't go. I told you. I knew this. I knew this was going to happen. I don't want you to be good to them. I want you to kill them, God. And even after all of this, the Bible says, verse 5, it says, so Jonah went outside of the city. He sat on the east side of the city. There made him a booth, and he sat under it. He sat under the shadow of it till he might see what would become of the city. He was still hoping God would do something. He's still hoping God would destroy it. But God wasn't looking to destroy it. He was looking to bless the people. Amen. He was looking to be good to the people. That's just who he is. I said, that's just who he is. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Go there. God's just good. I look at my own journey and coming to the Lord. And I think about his good, how he protected me even when I was a lost sinner. I've saw, and there were times, and I'm not making this up. There was one time when, for some reason, I still don't know why, all of my friends got arrested. Well, not all of them, but a chunk of them got arrested one night for something. And I would normally have been there, but for some reason, I can't even explain to this day. I couldn't explain it then. I couldn't even tell you why I did it back then. I stayed home. I didn't stay home on Friday nights. But that night, I didn't go where they went, and they all got arrested. And and even then, I thought, you know what? I believe that was God protecting me. Amen. Well, you say you got arrested before. Yeah, I know. He didn't protect me all the time. Yeah, I made the front page of the newspaper. Of course, you know, wasn't a big deal in our town. A duck could have made the front page of the newspaper. But for being arrested. Anyway, but I look back and I thought, you know, and I've never forgot about that.
I still look back and think, that the only reason I wasn't there, it had to be God keeping me from getting in trouble that night. Amen. And, you know, things, and I think we all look at this, times he spared our life, you know, when, you know, we could have been dead, but God, he's good. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Look with me at verse, let me see where we want to go. Let's go to verse 16. And one came and said unto him, good master, that's talking to Jesus, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said, Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, I used to read that verse, and I'm not going to lie to you. I used to think, what's that about? Because the guy calls him good. Jesus said, there's none good but God. Isn't Jesus God? He is, isn't he? Right? He always was, right? Yeah. Always will be. But here's the revelation behind this. See, when he was on the earth, he wasn't operating on the earth as God. He was God in the flesh, right? But the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He did it as a man, see. God, yes, but he was anointed of the Spirit, right? The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to preach. Well, God doesn't have to be anointed. He's already anointed. Does that make sense to you? So what he did as a man, right? Anointed of the Spirit. Didn't take away from being God. It's just that he didn't use the God privileges to do the things he did on the earth. He said, I do what the Father tells me to do. So what he's telling this guy comes to him and says, good master. Jesus said, why you call me good? There's none good but God. In other words, what Jesus was telling the guy is all goodness. If I have any goodness in me, all goodness comes from God. All goodness comes from the Father. See, you have to get that revelation that the devil doesn't have anything that's good. Only God does. See, this is just something natural, but think about this. Paul even said that God was good to us in that he gave us rain and fruitful seasons and filled our hearts with food and gladness. Every time you eat, you ought to think about the goodness of God. Because you wouldn't have it if it wasn't for his goodness. Think about that. It's his goodness that's feeding you. So even the sinners partaking, when they're out there and they're whomping down on that, you know, that steak, that's the goodness of God. He's the one that made the cows. Amen. Oh, you mean you believe in eating meat every chance I get? All right, praise God. Now, think about this. James said every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Exodus 33, won't go there, but Moses said this to God. He said to the Lord, he said, show me your glory. Remember that? Exodus 33. Show me your glory. And God said to Moses, he said, I'll make all my goodness pass by you. Say, his glory is his goodness. And listen to what he said. God is so good. Listen now. See, I don't think it's hard for our minds to get it. I don't think we have to get a revelation of this. Your mind can't get it. But God is so good now. Listen, he told Moses, he said, here's what I'm doing. He said, I'm going to put you in a cleft of a rock, and I'm going to pass by you in my backside. He says, because no man can see my face and live. He said, I'm going to put my hands over you, and I'm going to pass by you, and let all my goodness, all my glory pass by you. And you can kind of read this in the lines, and you better hope you make it. Now, listen now. Can you imagine somebody that is so good that if you saw the fullness of their goodness, it'd wipe your flesh out? That's what God's saying. Come on, somebody help me. That's how good God is. He's that good. He's so good that no man can look at his face, because that's where his goodness comes out of, his glory comes out of, his face. No man can behold it and live. He's that good. Hallelujah. Now that's who we're going to spend eternity with. He even said of himself,
He said in Exodus 34, he said, I am the Lord God, abundant in mercy and goodness. Amen. Hallelujah and compassion. That's what he calls himself. Amen. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. One last scripture. Go to Psalm 52. Did you get anything tonight? You know, just we got to change. Our inner image has to be developed. It has to be changed. We have to think differently about who God is and what he thinks about us. What he thinks about it. Let God be good to you. Let God be good to you. You ever tried to be good to some people? They won't let you. You know, you try to bless them with something. Oh, no. You know. Well, you can't give people what they won't receive. You know. I've tried to bless people before, and it's like, oh, no, you know, or that's too much. And, maybe I ought to be the one to decide that size of the gift I want to give you. Right? You know. But people do God that way. People do God that way. Preachers do it. Well, now God would do this, but he won't do that. Well, how do you know what he'll do? You're not him. Come on. Well, now God would bless you with that kind of... He might bless you with that, but he wouldn't bless you with... Now, that's just going too far. Really? Really? So you're saying there's something in the earth that's too good for your heavenly Father to give to his son or daughter. But it's okay if the devil gives it to his kids. That don't stack up with me. I don't know about you. Boy, I got quiet on that. But people think, well, you know, people don't think Christians or preachers should have certain things. Well, I don't think they should be crooked and dishonest. You understand what I'm saying? See, there's one preacher who gets all kinds of grief. I won't name him. I'll just leave him unnamed. But he gets all kinds of grief because he has a lot of money. Matter of fact, his house is very, very nice. He gets the press attacks him. He gets all kinds of grief. But what they don't tell you is that, you know, that now what they want you to think is he got it through, you know, through scamming. And, you know, they always like, he's scamming poor widows. Well, poor widows don't have any money. You don't get a house like that from poor widows. All right, so let's just be honest about this. Well, he's getting it from taking it from the ministry. No, have you ever heard about the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich? Now, what they don't know about the guy is the guy took his own money and invested it, and he made good investments, and he became wealthy by doing that. They don't tell you that. They never say that. They just say, look at his house, look at his car. Right? But they don't do that to the sinner out there. They don't do that to Bill Gates. I'm not knocking Bill Gates. If he made his money honest, that's nothing wrong with that. I'm just simply saying, there's this double standard. Right? But this guy invested money. God blessed it. Matter of fact, you know, I've heard him talk about it before. That he had all his money and a big chunk of money, lots of money in this investment, and everything was going good. And, you know, his bank was all, everything's fine. And he said, the Lord told him, said, take it all out. So he said, he went down there and took it. And the banker argued with him. The financial argued with him. Oh, no, you're making a big mistake. No, the Lord said, take it out. He took it out. In a few days, everything crashed. He still had his money. I call that the blessing of the Lord. Right? See, that's prosperity when you can hear from God and know what to avoid. Amen? The Bible says the Spirit of God will show you things to come. Now look at this in Psalm 52. Go with me. But that part's never, the world never tells you that part. They just want to point out, you know, this is just too excessive. You know, the funny thing about it is people tell you it's too excessive. If you offer to give it to them, they'll take it. All right, Psalm 52. But David said, but I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. How many want to be a green olive tree in the house of God? I trust, because why? I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Now he said, I'm a green. How many know green speaks of being fresh and alive? Right. Olive means you're anointed. Mm-hmm. Tree means longevity. So I'm fresh, I'm alive, I'm anointed. I'm gonna have longevity in the house of God. Why? Because I trust in God's mercy. Where should your faith be? I said, where should your faith be? In God's mercy. Not in you doing everything right, but in the fact that he did something right. Amen.
He sent Jesus to redeem us. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I preach myself happy. Praise God. God is good. You got to change your inner image. I mean, you got to let the Word of God change your inner image. And it only comes by the Word. Amen. You know, I don't know if I'll do this Sunday. We'll see. But I'm thinking about talking about how the new covenant, the transformation that comes from the new covenant, man, it'll transform you. Ooh, I know it did me. And it will. It'll transform you into something good. Amen. Oh, thank God for His Word. How many believe that, you know, no matter where you're at right now, there's probably growth, right? In your thoughts about who God is and what He thinks about you. Amen. I believe this. I believe that you have to get it by revelation. It's just too rich for your mind. See, there's just some things your mind just can't comprehend, but your heart can get it when your head can't. Amen. There's certain things about the kingdom, I just don't understand it with my mind. And that's what gets people in trouble, is they want to figure everything out with your mind. How many of you, some things you got to just accept with your heart? I mean, even your salvation with the heart, man, believes, not with the head. See, there's a lot of head belief, but that doesn't do anything. There's a lot of people who go to church today. Did you know there's people, all kinds in our city, churches in our city, they're not even saved. There's preachers that are preaching, not even saved. And they made Jesus Lord, because it's always been in their head. It's like a job to them. It's a religion to them. But how many know Christianity is a life-changing experience?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.